This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast. This broadcast is coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, telling forth from God's inspired, infallible, indestructible, and irresistible word, the glad tidings that mercy from the Lord is a living reality. This is your radio pastor, Peter Nortier, speaking. We trust that you will listen carefully for the next half hour as we endeavor to set forth the good news of mercy and pardon from a holy and just God to a world of guilty and lost sinners.
And now we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, thank you again for the precious privilege we have, first of knowing thee, then of being able to broadcast thy truth by the means of radio to men and women and boys and girls, wherever they may be. We thank you also, Lord, that it's being put on the Internet, and that through the downloading on the Internet, many thousands of individuals can tune in the broadcast, and we just praise your name for it, because it is all of thee. We ask that thou wilt empower the messages like never before, and cause many, many hearts to tune in. Then, Lord, do whatever work has to be done with regard to their redemption and their relationship to thee. Now we come to thee with regard to this broadcast. We ask thy blessing upon it, and we ask you, Lord, that thou wilt empower it and give listening ears out there and attentive minds and do whatever work has to be done. But everything else, we beg thee, get glory to thyself in all that's said and done in this effort. We pray now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we're delighted to come into your home by the means of radio. Some of you hear us in the morning, some at night, some in the afternoon, some during the week, but whenever we come into your home, always remember we count it a privilege to be a radio guest there. And we hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to your heart as you listen. And we hope that you'll be able to follow along in your Bible if it's possible, and if not, that you'll be able to listen very carefully. Now, as we've said before, these messages are being put in print with regard to the CD and the tape. And if you want a CD of these messages, you let us know, and then we'll work out the details. And we want you to do these three things for us, if you will. Number one, pray for us if you're on praying ground. Number two, we ask you to tell your friends and neighbors and acquaintances, and even your enemies, about the broadcast. Give them the name of the station, time of the program, the location of the station on the dial, and also the name of the broadcast, and follow up and see if they won't tune it in. You never know what'll happen, because folks have been converted through this means, and we just praise the Lord for it. Then we want you to also pray for us if you're on praying ground. If you're not, then we want you to tell your friends and neighbors, but drop us a letter and a card. Our mailing address is very simple. It's the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The zip code is 49505. We're also on the Internet, and the Internet address is sermonaudio.com. There you can pick us up 24/7 around the world. Now let's get quiet around the radio. Let's listen to another number, then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. Remember, we'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us. Take your Bibles, if it's possible for you to do so, and you turn with me to the book of Esther. I'm going to be beginning at verse 1. The book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 137 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 84 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto the great and small, 7 in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where there were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red, blue, and white, and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. Today we're going to start a new series of messages from the book of Esther. My hope is that you will read the book of Esther within the next few weeks, as there will be many lessons for us found in it. This book is a very peculiar book, in that there is no mention of God, Jesus Christ, or anything that pertains to the Lord. Yet in this book, it has in it the way of salvation the preservation of the Jews, the Abrahamic covenant, as well as grace, judgment, and salvation, as well as the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just need to have our eyes open to see these things. You pray with us as we study together that the Lord will reveal them to us. The name of the book is Esther, and it comes from the principal subject of the book. The book of Esther is sometimes called the book of Mordecai. The authorship of the book is really unknown. Some believe it was written by men of the great synagogue composed by Ezra. Others think it was written by Ezra, but others think it was written by Mordecai. The date of the book is unknown for the most part, but the Persian king Ahasuerus is known in secular history as Xerxes, the famous king who warred against Alexander and Greece. Now, there's a great deal of opposition to the book. It was Martin Luther who said, "I am so hostile to this book of Esther that I wish it did not exist." He could not reconcile himself to the book because he felt that the saving truths of the scripture are absent from it. A man named Bertho said, "Esther and Mordecai are full of a spirit of revenge and hostility, not only to Gentile ways, but to the Gentiles themselves, of cruelty and ungodly confidence in a victory over the world by worldly power and the employment of the world of worldly means, and that this book belongs to the historical records of the revelation made. Israel is it made to Israel only so far as it helps fill up the chasm between the times of the prophets and the day of the Lord." Now you see, my friend, the book of Esther has lots of opposition to it, but you know, it doesn't change it one iota. This book has been inspired by God. It's been put in the canon of Scripture, and I'll tell you right now, it behooves you and me to understand what we're talking about when we study the book of Esther. Now, the book of Esther has the certain characters that I want to share with you. First of all, there's King Ahasuerus, and we find in verse 1. "Now, it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this is Ahasuerus, "which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him." So here you have King Ahasuerus. Secondly, another character is Haman, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Now it says so very clearly in the Word of God, and I want you to see it if you will. Esther chapter 3, we find these words: "After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed in reverence Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, and nor did him reverence." Now what do you have here? Here you have the second character that is set forth: King Ahasuerus, and then Haman, the Agagite, who's the enemy of the Jews. Now this is brought out very clearly in the book of Esther, as we'll bring it out later on. The third character is this: Mordecai was a rebel who would not bow to Haman. Again, "But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence." And then we find in verse 5, "When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai." So here you have the third character: that King Ahasuerus, Haman the Agagite, Mordecai the rebel, and then we find also another main character is little Esther. And we find very clearly these words. The Word of God says in Esther chapter 2 these words: "Now in Shushan the palace there is a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took him for his own daughter." So here you have some of the main characters that are set forth in the Word of God. There's the king Ahasuerus, Haman Agagite, the enemy of the Jews, Mordecai, the rebel who would not bow to Haman, and then Esther, the orphan, who became the wife and queen of Ahasuerus later on. But then we find also, listen carefully now, there are various doctrines found in the book of Esther. None of them are mentioned by name. But as I mentioned before, we see there's nothing mentioned with regard to God, Jesus Christ, or anything that pertains to the Lord. Yet in this book, it has in it the way of salvation, the preservation of the Jews, the Abrahamic covenant, as well as grace, judgment, and the salvation, as well as the exaltation of Christ. Now, all these things are set forth in this marvelous little book. Now, the various doctrines that are found in this book are these. First of all, there's a doctrine of providence. We'll go into that later on. Secondly, there's a doctrine of election. Thirdly, there's a doctrine of grace. Fourth, there's a doctrine of justice. Fifth, there's prophecies of coming events that have yet to take place. Sixth, we find there's a doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Seventh, we find also there's a prophecy of the coming cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, last of all, we find there's a doctrine of atonement with regard to the Lord God of heaven. And also we can find the Lord Jesus Christ set forth here in picture form in this portion of the Word of God. So you see, my friend, the book of Esther is a very important book, and it behooves each one of us to understand a little bit about it, because we find how wonderful this book is. And now today, for a moment or two, I want to share with you the providence of God in action. Notice what it says, as I mentioned before. Our first doctrine is the doctrine of God's providence. Now, what do we mean by the term providence? People, they don't seem to understand the providence of God, and they don't understand the word. So let me give you the meaning of the term providence, if I may. It's the action of God upon His creation, whereby He allows the decay or change in it to such an extent and limits which He hath purposed, and at the same time He directs or controls and guides it in accordance to the laws imposed. And then we can turn with me, if you see very clearly, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, the Word of God verifies what I mentioned to you a moment ago about the doctrine of God's providence. Listen again, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath anointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now there you have a definition, an example of God's providence. And I want to give you another meaning of the term providence. Listen again. Providence is the work of God in preserving and governing of all creation and their actions. Then we find, along with providence, comes the word preservation. Preservation is the immediate operation of God as a distinct and different being upon, in, and with the creature, as a distinct being and always in accordance with the nature of the creature. In the material world, God works through material properties. In a mental world, God works in and through the properties and faculties of the mind. And of course, in the spiritual world, He works through the capacity of the Holy Spirit and the work person of the Holy Spirit as He brings an individual to Christ and teaches us all these things about the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, my friend, the book is a marvelous little book. And as I've said before, one of the main doctrines that is set forth here is the providence of God. I've given you the meaning of it. We find providence is to be seen in all things. Providence is seen in nature. And let me give you some scripture, if I may, and you follow along with me in your Bible if it's possible for you to do so. Turn with me to the book of the Psalms, if you will. Psalm 135, and I want to read with you verses 5 through 7. Psalm 135 and verses 5 through 7. Listen to what it says, if you will. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our God is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain, He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. Now what do we have here? We have providence is set forth in all things. It's set forth in nature, as I wrote a moment ago. I'm going to read again Psalm 147, and listen again, if you will, beginning at verse 8. Listen to what it says. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the grass, who maketh the grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace within in thy borders, and he filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. And who can stand before his cold? So here you have the providence of God is seen in all things. And I particularly read this portion of Scripture with regard to nature. Then we find also the providence of God is seen with regard to the events of human history. Again, take your Bibles, if you will, and you turn back with me to the book of the Psalms, chapter 47, and I'm going to read verse 7. For God is the King of all earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the nations. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. You see, here you have God's events of human history. Then, the Lord God of heaven also, the providence of God also, is set forth in the individual life. Again, take your Bibles, if you will, if possible if you do so, or follow along with me as I turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, and I'm going to look at verse 6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Now this is the providence of God with regard to what? If we have seen in all things, the providence of God is seen in nature, the providence of God is seen in human history, and the providence of God is also seen in individual life. Then we find the providence of God is set forth also as so-called fortunate events. Now take your Bibles again, if you will, and you turn back with me to the book Exodus chapter 21, and you listen to verse 13. He that smiteth a man so that he die, he shall surely be put to death. But if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar, that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. Now what do you have here? Here you have, my friend, you have hospitalization. You see, the book of Esther is a book that is not unknown for the most part, but I'll tell you right now, it's a very, very important book. We find the providence of God is set forth not only throughout mankind, but it's also set forth with regard to the actions of Esther. Now, someone might say, what are you talking about? Well, it was the providence of God. Listen now. It was the providence of God that caused the disposal of Queen Vashti so that Queen Esther could take her place. Now, some of you don't seem to understand that, but my friend, you got to remember one thing. God rules over everything. And by his sovereignty, it was his decree and his determination to make Esther queen of the empire of Persia and Media. Now, my time is about gone, so I have to stop at this moment or two. But I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour? You see, my friend, God's providence involves you just as well as anybody else. And it's by the providence of God that you've been caused to listen to this portion of the Word of God. And my hope is that something has been said, that the Lord will strengthen you or else stir you until you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Nort here of the Mercies of God saying goodbye for now. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.